Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is on his way to New York to, I guess he's in New York right now, picking up his brother, going to drive him back.
He'll be back on his way, Pete.
I thought he flew there, and he's driving back, right?
No, he's driving there and back.
Oh, I thought he was renting him.
He's got to be there by now.
He has to.
2 days
ago. He did, didn't he? He left on Wednesday.
How often do they stop?
I don't know. That's a great question. Jane Manzuris in for Andrea Darlis.
Yes.
Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
Mary, do you know Jane?
I do know Jane.
I love Mary.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's crafty.
Yes.
We're both crafty
people. We are. We have crafting discussions.
Yes.
There.
Back to Cochran for a second. Have you guys ever driven somewhere with a family member as an adult?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
To Fort Lauderdale, Florida with the entire family.
When was that?
When I was 10 years old, I think.
No, as an adult.
They were adults.
No, I mean you as an adult.
No, I would never do that.
Like, I picked up my sister, I have a sister that's a nun who lives in New York from O'Hare, and we drove to Peoria 2.5 hours about 6 months ago. I loved it. It was great.
Well, it's time together.
When my father was sick, the family drove up to Mayo. My dad was already up there, but, you know, we get in the car, and I'm with five brothers and sisters. It was fun. It's fun.
Extend that to, like, Miami or Key West. Would that work?
No, that wouldn't be fun.
2.5 hours of Peoria is not very long.
No, I did the best road trip with my 92-year-old mom, my 94-year-old aunt. Last year, we came from Williamsburg back to the Chicago area.
See, my mom would...
With my sister.
She'd make us say the rosary the whole time. All right, it's time for another rosary.
Let's go. They were the best passengers ever. My sister and I were like, we have to stop to go to the bathroom. They didn't have to stop at all. It was like, what's going on?
I would think they'd need to stop more.
I know. We were like the little kids.
Every 2 hours, I like to stop just to stretch.
2 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. You get in the car and you go.
See, I could never drive anywhere with Enid. He's so upset. I like to just, what's your hurry? Why are you in such a hurry? Can't we just stop and stretch our legs for 5 minutes?
Then it makes the trip way longer, Pete.
Oh, I got to stretch my back
and my
legs. My
husband never lets us stop. It's like, we're going. No bathroom, nothing.
All right, it's time for the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Top 6 at 6. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, heating and cooling the 60-Minute Men. At number one, fired FBI Director James Comey testified yesterday on Capitol Hill. Mr. Comey accused President Trump of lying, trying to derail the inquiry. Did the president obstruct justice? That is the question. And I don't think they proved that yesterday.
I kind of agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of leeway. I think they need to close it all up and send everybody home.
The first hour was must-see TV. I thought it was great.
The first 10 minutes was must-see TV.
I thought it was fantastic. And after 10 o'clock, it's like, okay, they're just going around in circles.
They went pretty easy on him, I feel. I feel like they went pretty easy on him until they got to McCain.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Top 6 at 6, number 2, during questioning of James Comey, Senator John McCain was confused, flustered, and at one point referred to President Comey. Spent most of his time questioning Comey, asking about the FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton. He just seemed out of it. It was weird. I felt embarrassed. It's like, oh my God, what is going on with Senator McCain, who I respect?
He was out of it, apparently.
He was.
Yeah.
He released a statement that said, I get the sense from Twitter that my line of questioning went over people's heads. Maybe going forward, I shouldn't stay up so late watching the Diamondbacks game.
I'm thankful that I'm the only one that didn't think that way, that was thinking that way, right? I'm listening to him. I'm like, this is way over my head.
He was tired.
Yeah,
good night's sleep is needed.
Before a testimony like that. Donald Trump Jr. was firing back yesterday in defense of his dad, live tweeting during the hearing, tweeting 40 times in 2.5 hours, and at one point tweeting, hoping and telling are two very different things. You would think that a guy like Comey would know that. Hashtag give me a break. It was too much.
Well, hey, someone had to fill in for Dad. If Dad wasn't tweeting, somebody needed to do it.
They need to dial that down. British Prime Minister Theresa May will most likely try to form a minority government after the Conservatives lost their majority in Parliament. Ms. May's decision to call an early election in the hopes of expanding the Conservative Party's majority in the House of Commons backfired. There are already calls for Ms. May to resign. Hasn't even been a year yet.
It hasn't been a year yet.
Wow. Oh. Number 5, 6 at 6. This is the hottest weekend of 2017. We're going to see high 80s, mid 90s.
Yes.
Finally.
Yuck.
Okay, here's the problem. You got to water your lawn. You got to water your flowers. Don't do it during the day. Do it in the morning, early, or late at night.
Right. Okay. And only if it's your day, because a lot of communities have watering regulations. You have to go even number or odd number days.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We don't have that in the city.
Make sure you water
your
pets and children as well.
You sure about that, Pete?
I don't know. I need to check on that. And finally, the 6 at 6. The month of June is the most popular month for one-night stands, according to the dating website OneCupid. Do you guys know why?
Why?
Because warmer weather means one is wearing fewer clothes.
Is that real?
That's real, according to OneCupid.
I was thinking maybe it was because of weddings.
It's going to be a busy
weekend. OneCupid part of the Gallup organization?
OneCupid. Look it up, Dave. Okay. The 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. How about we do this? 312-981-7200. Let's do Lou's first caller first, okay? Let's get Lou's first caller. We're going to talk to Lou Manfredini coming up next. If you have a question for Lou, we'll set you up with a nice little prize. And then after we get Lou's first caller, are you with me, Mike? Okay. Let's do caller number 6 for a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We got that? So we'll get Lou's first caller, and then we'll give away the desktop indoor weather station.
All right. And it's all brought to you by American Weathermakers.
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
I got it.
See, I did caller 6 today. Yes. All right. Let's take a look at traffic. Mary, thank you for that.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
6:22. You can hear him Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. I'm talking over his music, aren't I? It's been so long since I've talked to Lou. You can hear him right here Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. It's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Lou, how are you, buddy? Are you with me?
Hold on.
Lou, you there?
Yep. Lou?
Maybe he took the day off. Every time I have the fertilizer question for Lou, he's never around. It drives me crazy.
I'm here.
He's there. Hey, there
he Lou, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you, man?
I'm okay.
Okay. Every time I see you, I want to ask you how many times I can fertilize my lawn, and we never get to the answer.
But that's not true. You text me incessantly.
Well, first of all, this weekend is going to be super hot. How often should we water? And we should water in the morning and at night, right?
Well, I mean, there's all these schools of thought when it comes to watering the grass. But, I mean, with this hot weather, this is a thing that I want people to understand, is that you don't want to overwater your lawn, because what you do then is you baby it too much, and then the roots don't go deeper because you're providing them with all the nutrients that they need up at the surface, and then you have a grass that's not tolerant for disease and bugs. And so it's really important, even when it gets super hot, to water no more than twice a week. Twice a week for an hour. That's it.
For an hour?
Yeah.
I'm doing 30 minutes twice a week.
Well, you have a postage size lawn.
Just to let everybody know, think of your master bathroom. That is my lawn. Okay? And I'm obsessed with it because guys want to grow grass.
I mean, it all depends on, the size of your lawn and this and that. I mean, you're wanting to get about an inch of water down twice a week.
Okay.
And you can certainly accomplish that depending on what type of sprinkler you have in a half an hour. But, split the difference and go 45 minutes.
Okay. Got it. And how often do we fertilize? Do we do it once a month?
So there, with the chemical fertilizers, the big trend now is all organics. I'm hearing from more and more younger parents who are not interested in having any kind of chemicals on their lawns whatsoever. And so all of these different companies like Espoma and Dave Thompson's, they all have these really terrific lines of organic fertilizers that literally you could put down once a month if you wanted to, but every couple months is great. The nice thing with the organics is you don't have the risk of burning out the lawn because it's chemical-free, and if you have small children or you have pets that hang out there and you want nothing to do with the chemicals, then that's the way I would go. You tend to use a little bit more product because it isn't, I mean, the chemicals do work, but they're not good for you.
You introduced me to two things a few years ago, Jonathan Green's Black Beauty grass seed, which is off the charts fantastic.
Off the charts.
And the fertilizer from the waste in Milwaukee.
Milorganite.
For real.
For real. It comes from the Milwaukee County Sewage Company.
Wow.
It's one of the first recyclers. They take all that poop and they turn it into pellets, and then you buy it and you put it on your lawn.
It works. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
City roof decks and balcony plants. I'm growing some tomatoes. I heard that if I put eggshells in the soil, that's going to give it a little bit more protein.
Have you been to Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I was going to sell you some oceanfront property.
Really? That doesn't work?
I mean, it's, you know, it'll decompose eventually, and it'll certainly add nutrients to it. I'll tell you what, two products that I really like. Espoma is this company that's been around since like 1929 making organics. They have this liquid plant food that they have three different ones comes in a bottle, and it is brown and nasty looking. But it has this pour cap on it, and you do like four caps so you don't spill anything on you. And once a week, you put that in a watering can, just once a week. You're going to water more than that when you water your tomatoes, but they make one specifically for tomatoes. And you put that in there, and I'm telling you, when I use that that fertilizer on my flower boxes, I literally can feel the plants stretch.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I put it on there like, oh, that feels so good. It's like that little lower.
See, when you hear things like this, don't you feel like you just want to run out and buy it?
I do, but I'm going to let them know what happens with my plants now that have eggshells in them.
Oh, you already did that.
Oh, yeah, I already did it.
That's good.
It doesn't work? It doesn't work.
Well, I mean, it's not going to hurt it.
Right.
It's protein.
Sure.
All right, let's take Lou's first call.
It's protein.
This is Letty in Orland Park. Letty, what's your question for Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It?
My question is, for years I've been having this ongoing argument with my husband about air duct cleaning because I think it needs to be done and he thinks it's a big old scam because it is really expensive. Well, that changed a little bit last weekend when we were watching an episode of House Smarts where, Lou, you were talking about how often it should be done and the kind of equipment that they should be using. So thank you for that because I think I nailed it with him. But my question is, is there a time of year that it's really better to do that, or doesn't it matter?
It doesn't matter, it can be a scam if you're not getting the right people to come out and do it correctly. And so thanks for the nice mention about what we showed, because we're trying to educate people to say, look, this really does matter. Think about all the dust that you dust in your home all the time, and when you're running your forced air system, your cold air returns and your ducts are grabbing that dust that you're not dusting off of the counters and circulating through there, and it sticks. And then you're breathing that constantly. And so it's a 5 to 7 year proposition, in my opinion. And you want people to come out to not only use the vacuum, but a whip where they loosen all the stuff up. We have a sponsor on WGN here, Dykstra Home Services, that does this. And they really do it the right way. So in my opinion, it is the right way to do it. And finally, after all those years of being married to your husband, he came around to the right way of thinking.
It took 45 years.
45 years. God bless you.
Finally. And thanks for the recommendation, because that was going to be my next question. Who do we call?
You got it.
Because every time I hear you recommend somebody and we use them, they're always terrific. So thank you for that.
Letty, hold on. Just for being Lou's first call, we're going to set you up with April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. All brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
Hey, Peter, how long have you been married?
16 years, coming up in August.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because you do what she says.
Yes.
Today, I've been married 27 years.
Hey, congratulations.
You know why?
Because you do what she says?
I do what she says.
Yes.
And you know what my friends say? They've never seen me happier.
Good for you. You look great, and your hair has never looked better.
My hair looks fantastic.
It does. I love you. I'll be listening tomorrow.
I love you more.
All right. Thanks, man. Lou Manfredini coming up next. We're gonna check the big story. And once again, Lou Manfredini is brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Pat Brady in studio. We're going to break down the Comey hearings yesterday at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting.
No, I can definitively say the president's not a liar. And I think it's frankly insulting that that question would be asked.
The president said, I had dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. Is this an accurate statement?
No, sir.
In that same interview, the president said, in one case, I called him, and in one case, he called me. Is that an accurate statement?
No.
Did you ever call the president?
No.
The president was asked whether he had urged you to shut down the investigation into Michael Flynn. The president responded, quote, no, no. Next question. Is that an accurate statement?
I don't believe it is.
6:40, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here in for Andrea Darlis. Our next guest, he's a former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party, a former federal and state prosecutor, and a good friend of Steve Cochran's. Pat Brady joins us in studio. It's good to see you, man.
Good morning.
Thanks for waking up. I appreciate you getting dressed up to come in studio.
No, rolled right, out of, bed, right out of bed this morning. Yep.
First thoughts on the hearings yesterday?
I think it was a bad day for the White House. I think, and maybe it's because I was looking at it from the perspective of a lawyer or former prosecutor, that former Director Comey basically testified to facts that will lead to, and maybe and someday, charges of obstruction of justice against Donald Trump. He laid it all out.
I agree with you 100%. Take yourself out of it. If you're a Democrat or a Republican, it was a bad day yesterday for the White House, for Comey,
it was bad,
for everybody.
It was bad. It was bad all around. I probably don't agree with a lot of people. A lot of people thought it was kind of a mix. I thought Comey was excellent. I thought he laid it out. I think politically, people saw it as a wash because of the testimony that came out about Director Comey leaking the document. Although there's nothing legally wrong with that. That's how Washington works. I don't think that was his finest moment.
I know that's how Washington works, but he fully admitted.
He fully admitted. But to me,
he leaked a memo to his buddy who then gave it to the New York Times.
Yeah, it happens every day in Washington.
I know it happens every day in Washington.
And
I was a little
shocked. Trump's
outside.
Yeah, I was too.
Okay.
Yeah, but he said that because he had a lawn full of media, and he said, I would have gone and given it to him, but instead of me walking out on the patio, I gave it to somebody else.
And someone would have found out, too, don't you think? That's why he came clean?
And they weren't confidential memos. And I misspoke the other day when Steve and I were talking about what FBI agents do. They do take notes and make reports immediately after interviews, or they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. In this case, this is unique in that the director, who was not doing an investigation, he was actually having a meeting with the president, felt so uncomfortable with what the president was saying to him, he immediately took copious notes on what they'd talked about. So this wasn't a typical agent report. These were just his own personal notes because he was so outraged that the president, who was treating the FBI director like a New Jersey gaming regulator, basically.
It wasn't clear to me, though. Do they have those notes, those notebooks that he took and all the notes after the meetings?
From what I understand, just to get the press accounts, that he turned all that over to Bob Mueller, who's leading the investigation as of counsel for the Justice Department.
I didn't understand. Are they papers or it is his laptop, the government laptop that he was taking the notes on?
Well, he did it so that it wasn't classified. I'm not sure which computer he used. It might have been his own home computer. Mm-hmm.
So he has it saved somewhere.
Sure, he has.
Yeah, he's turned it over now.
He turned it all over.
Yeah. Okay.
He turned it all. And the argument that the president was making that they weren't going to assert executive privilege, well, they couldn't because of his tweets, privileges can be waived, and they're easy to waive, and that's what he did. He talked about the substance of the conversation before Comey's notes ever came out.
He painted a disturbing picture of our president.
I'm not kidding when I said he treated the FBI director like a corrupt New Jersey gaming regulator.
Right.
It's a very troubling picture. And the only defense, one of the takeaways from yesterday was the only defense the Republicans could come up with was that he's naive and doesn't understand Washington, which is not a defense. It just shows that maybe he's not well-equipped to be president.
That's what Paul Ryan said yesterday. Well, he's a businessman. Is that an excuse?
Well, I think if it's a thought out this well, that's potential legal argument, you have to have acted with a corrupt intent. Not that ignorance of the law is a defense, but you can say, well, he didn't know that he was doing anything wrong. It's a terrible defense, but I think that's where they were going. But given what Director Comey laid out the day before and what he testified to, that's really all you could say.
Yeah, meaning clearing everybody out of the room to have that individual meeting with Comey.
Do that. You do an obstruction case or any case on the totality of the facts, and look at what he did here. He called him in and had several conversations, but the one meeting, clear the room. Why do you clear the room?
You as a former prosecutor.
Yeah, you clear.
What
the
does
room,
that say to you?
You clear the room because you don't want anybody hearing it.
Exactly.
That's why to me there's no tapes. Like, if there were tapes, you wouldn't have cleared the room.
And so, are there tapes?
Cleared the chief of staff. Cleared the vice. Cleared everybody out of the room.
Are there tapes?
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
But the Senate can subpoena them.
Are there tapes going to come out in like 40 years from now? Remember and when?
I love that. I love that we all say tapes. Did he just record the conversation on his phone? Because he's done that in the past during business meetings.
We don't know. But you remember that's the existence of tapes broke during the Watergate or were revealed during the hearing.
So the memo that he took is not FBI property or government property.
It's my understanding it is not. Those are his notes. I don't know the law completely on this. We don't have that law that would pertain or make everything confidential and or privileged. These are not confidential memorandums. They're his. Now, it made me uncomfortable like it did you when he said, I did this and then I leaked him. To me, that's like you're still as director. You did that.
But I was shocked.
But I don't think there's any.
And then I thought to myself, everybody does it in Washington.
Yeah, which is not what. Again, that's why Trump got elected, because people don't like the way Washington works. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that he thought, given what Loretta Lynch had done, and I think one thing that's gotten lost a little bit in our conversation, Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general, had a terrible
Lynch came out yesterday. Yes.
I know you listen to the show all the time. We've been talking about it for months. When the Democrats' talking points on the Hillary Clinton email investigation, it's a matter. Well, and that's what Loretta Lynch told the FBI director to call the criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server a matter. The Justice Department doesn't do matters. They do criminal investigations. And for her to work in coordination with the Clinton campaign, that's a really disturbing revelation.
So Loretta Lynch, former attorney general, met Bill Clinton on a tarmac.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was later, but this was when, at the point, allegedly, according to the press accounts, that she was going to be making a charging decision on whether or not to charge Hillary Clinton with some federal law violation. She met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton, the former president, for 40 in their jets.
Right.
I used to live in Arizona, and it was in the summer, and you walk across the tarmac, a black tarmac.
Yeah.
It's 120 degrees.
Well, it rolled out like a soap opera yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, what? That was the first hour, and then they started running in circles after 10 o'clock, after the first hour.
But different than previous hearings that we've all watched, there was no real partisanship. The questions, they were very cordial towards the director. It was all intros of, I respect you, or I appreciate your work. It was no those 2-3 minute partisan attacks on a witness. It was very cordial.
I thought they were all very kind to him. And like you said, the intros being, you know, well, thank you for your service and all this. And so I feel like they'd ask him the questions, sort of ask the same question a different way. And that's what happened for the first 2 hours. I felt like the only person that really was charging him and asking him was McCain.
McCain, listen.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about John McCain. I'm going to check traffic. Pat Brady in studio with us at 6:47. Mary, what do we have? 6:52, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on Monday. Andrea off today. She's back on Monday. Jane Monzuris is here. Pat Brady is here, breaking down the Comey testimony yesterday. President Trump doesn't understand the way Washington does business. And I feel like he gets a pass for that. And that's why we get in situations like this.
Yeah, and one of the things after watching all day yesterday and being absorbed with all this is all the things that aren't getting done right now, like tax reform or Obamacare reform or infrastructure bill, any of the things that he ran on that we all know we need, none of it's getting done. The whole Washington scene is being consumed by hearings. And the bottom line is these are all his fault. These are all just ineptitude and management of his presidency that's led to this. Not one of these is not an unforced error.
We have Congressman Quigley on the phone with us. Congressman, thanks for joining us. I know you're pressed for time this morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Your thoughts on the hearings yesterday?
A couple of surprises. I thought that the almost a side reference to Mr. Sessions having to recuse himself for reasons that were, complicated or difficult or troubling. That was a big deal that didn't get enough play. But fundamentally, as to what you were just saying, the fact that the number one law enforcement officer in the United States felt that the President of the United States was telling him to instructing him to drop an investigation is just mind-blowing. It's just unbelievable that could happen at this time in our nation's history.
I think we all agree that it was wrong, but I think we agree that it wasn't criminal activity, right?
No, I don't agree at all.
No,
I think it was criminal activity.
No,
you do. I do. I'm sorry. Sorry, Congressman.
Take it this way. It is the middle of a trial or an investigation. Don't ask a jury, even a quarter of the way through. Now what do you think? This is a process. I tell people on both sides, don't jump to conclusions. This is the most important investigation in my lifetime, and we've got to do it right. We've got to follow the facts. There's still corroboration issues. There are still other people who may or may not testify to the same point. To jump in now and say, I'll say what it is. It is evidence of obstruction. Is it enough at this point in time? Who's to say, let's let this thing take its course? You're right. There's other things we need to do, have to do. I'd like to think, as an appropriator in D.C., that we can get other things done at the same time. At the end of last year, we got $1 billion for the CTA to rebuild the Red Line. That's important. We should be doing that again. I just can't guarantee that with this kind of distraction that that's going to take place.
Congressman, so now that we've seen the public hearing and they did the private hearing, how do we move forward? What's the next step that happens? And how quickly can we wrap this up? If it's quickly is the wrong word, it probably is. But what happens next?
The process should take as long as it needs to, whether that's short or long. The House investigation begins. We still haven't interviewed our first witness. We still are reviewing documents. I suspect there's more hearings and probably more travel that has to take place. This is, I can't state this strongly enough, complicated, textured, layered, and incredibly important. And it goes well beyond the issues of whether there was collusion, right? I mean, I was in Cyprus for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
This is across different countries and continents. And it involves inherently who we are as a country. So I know that it's kind of like after the first quarter in a football game, Americans want, okay, what's going to happen? This is too important for that.
Right.
We've got to make sure that everyone's rights are protected as mm-hmm. we go forward and that the process isn't jumped. I tell my colleagues, I'm not messaging to my base. I'm messaging to the entire public that they should not assume anything, not jump to conclusions, treat this as you would want to be treated yourself, because the stakes are way too high.
This is going to go on a long time. Mm-hmm. Congressman, thank you. I know you got to catch your plane. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Congressman Mike Quigley. Okay. So you do think, Pat.
Yeah, he raises a couple of really good points. What we saw yesterday is a political investigation. It's not a criminal investigation.
Right.
They're investigating more broadly the alleged, and I haven't really seen any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Huge, very important issue, and I completely agree with them. It's complicated. That's going to take a long time. But there's also now, because of what went down with Director Comey, there's now a criminal investigation directed by the former FBI director, Bob Mueller, into all this as well. And
right.
then mm-hmm. after yesterday, what we heard from the director, what the president told him and what he thought the president was telling him to kill this investigation, kicking people out of the room and then firing him 3 or 4 weeks after that, I think is plenty of evidence of obstruction of justice. I think, and rightfully so, because people don't pay that much attention. There are two tracks here. The political investigation is only relevant to fact-finding on the Russia matter and what we could do to prevent
right.
that, or did it happen?
Did they mess with the voting?
Or are we going to have an impeachment hearing? We're a long way from that. But there's a parallel criminal investigation going on that yesterday had nothing to do with, probably limited what Director Comey could say. But one thing, and Congressman Quigley makes another great point. It came out during the hearing about the now Attorney General Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. and they couldn't talk about it because it was confidential. Well, after yesterday's hearings, Director Comey went to a closed-door hearing.
Right. I want to hear that.
And according to the press accounts, and they may be fake news, it may not be fake news, allegedly he handed over information that the Attorney General didn't tell people when he's being confirmed about a third meeting he had with the Russian that was all the problems. So he may have misstated.
So misstated or forgot.
Or lied. We could want all the above, but the point is,
withholding information is the same thing as lying.
Right. He recused himself from the Russian investigation because of these contacts, and if he didn't reveal another one, that's problematic for him.
It's House of Cards, man. I feel like I'm watching House of Cards.
Listen,
hold that thought.
I watched all of it. All I got to say is, to anybody that's listening out there, do not have sex with Claire Underwood. It's not good.
I'm gonna have you stick around a little bit longer because we haven't talked about Senator McCain yesterday. I mean, wow. Those hearings. Pat Brady in studio with us. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's 6:59 at 720 WGN. Seven ten, Pete McMurray, Chayne Monsouris. It's a big day today. Dave, it's a big day.
Why is it a big day, Pete?
Our next guest, we were lucky to get a hold of him. Today is Charlie McMurray's very last day of sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone with us, my son, Charlie McMurray. How are you, buddy?
How'd you book him?
It was tough.
Good.
We got a hold of him. Hi, Charlie.
Good.
Are you excited? Today's your last day of sixth grade.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Very excited.
What happens today at the last day of sixth grade? Do you even go to school?
We go to a talent show and it ends at 11:45 and then we get out.
Run out of there.
And who took the day off to pick you up?
Mom.
Oh.
Mom took the day off so she could pick him up from sixth grade.
Charlie, do you have a talent in the talent show today?
No.
He wouldn't do it. I'm like, you perform all the time. Do something. He can play piano. Oh. He can sing. We tell jokes in our house. Sometimes we have a variety show in our living room.
And you wouldn't do anything, Charlie?
He didn't want to do it. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You're at that age now where you get embarrassed when, you know, girls, the opposite sex and the whole deal. That's when it starts, Jane. It does. Tell Mr. Ennett how many basketball camps you're doing this summer.
I'm doing three. I'm doing a Loyola basketball camp.
Loyola?
A camp with Coach Kleinschmidt at DePaul Prep.
Coach Kleinschmidt, DePaul Prep.
Sure, Tom Kleinschmidt. What was the other one?
What's the last one?
A Notre Dame sleepaway basketball camp.
Wow.
He's going to South Bend, Indiana.
You know, there's a basketball camp, Charlie, right up in Evanston. You come to a game every year at Northwestern. You're not going to camp there?
No.
Go Cats.
We got to talk to Coach Collins. You got to get in his camp.
Yeah, really.
Get him into a fourth camp?
All we have is time.
What's one more?
why don't you tell everyone about your chores this summer? We have certain chores now. We're at that age where we got to pull our own weight around the house. What are you going to be doing?
I have to mow the lawn.
Mowing the lawn is the most important. We take care of our lawn, okay?
Sweep the garage.
Sweeping the garage. You got to keep it clean, all right?
And fetching Mr. Ennett a coffee whenever he needs it.
Fetching Mr. Ennett coffee whenever he needs it.
You're the best, Charlie.
Very, very good. Nice. And what fun are we going to be having this summer? Are we going to be swimming? What are we going to be doing?
I'm going to my Aunt Anne's house in Milwaukee. I'm going to my friend's Michigan house a lot.
He loves to fish.
That's fun.
We got a fisherman in the McMurray house.
You have all the gear for the fishing?
We do. Aunt Anne has everything.
Oh, okay.
Yes. She lives in Wisconsin. She's got it all.
Charlie, you do a lot of the dinners. You make your dinners for your family at home. Will you be doing a lot of cooking this summer for 5 o'clock family dinner?
Yes.
Do you have a menu planned? Like maybe you could lay out what happens every night and put out a monthly menu for your parents to see.
No, he has no time
just,
for
just
that.
Just
to let people know,
time.
Charlie loves to cook.
He's great.
And we always run into a speed bump somewhere, and we FaceTime Jane, who is a wonderful cook, and we're like, Jane, we need some help before Mom gets home. We got to make this dinner. And she usually helps, right, Charlie?
Uh-huh.
Because you're not any help, Pete?
Well, I try.
Pete's the speed bump.
I could FaceTime Jane or try to track down my mother somewhere. It's like, where's Betty Ann? She's running all over the place. Mary, did you have something?
I do. Hey, Charlie, do you know that your dad has a lot of energy?
Yeah.
Do you ever have to tell him to calm down sometimes? Back off?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Yeah. He's got just as much.
Do you, Charlie?
Yes,
he does.
You match your dad.
We play basketball. Yes, Dave.
Can I ask Charlie a question about last Friday at Wrigley Field? There was a Facebook post of you, Charlie, you and your dad.
Well, I saw this.
And it kind of looked like you were rolling your eyes a little bit. Can you explain what was happening there?
So that was the 30th time we were reshooting the video because my dad's hair wasn't in place.
No, that is not true. That is a lie.
Yep.
That was a one-take video. If people don't know, on my Facebook page, we did a video. I pulled Charlie from school at lunch. It's kind of a thing that we do now. So around the end of school, we didn't do a Cub game.
Yeah, Charlie McMurray doesn't lie. I believe that was the
No, that yeah. was
It probably
not.
Was a few takes. Plus, you posted a lot of photos prior to the video, so he's over being photographed and videoed.
Charlie, just for that, you're grounded for the entire summer.
No.
All right.
No.
Have a great day at school, buddy, okay?
Thanks, Dad.
All right, I love you. Have a great day.
Bye,
see you, buddy.
Charlie.
You too. Bye.
He's a good kid, and he's filled with energy.
I feel like you don't let him sleep in. Like, you seem like the type that, like, 4:45, you're like, Charlie, let's get up and go do stuff. Like,
got to do another camp.
Right.
Wait a second.
Go, go, go.
Are you going to put him in a different camp besides basketball? Needs to learn some other sports.
He's done different types of camps. This summer, he just wanted to do basketball.
I think you put him in cooking camp.
There you go.
He's done cooking camp. Oh. He's done chess camp. He did Minecraft camp.
You said something just interesting there. He only wanted to do basketball because my stepdaughter's 13 and we were like, well, what do you want to do? And she doesn't want to do a whole lot. I'm like, well, is it all her decision? Can't we make her do something? Or is it 13? They've decided they make all the
decisions.
I think
they decide.
13, no, they decide.
Yeah. Well, you have these week-long camps. When kids are in camp, they really can't do anything else. So you want to split up. You want to split them up so they can do other things, like so we can go to Wisconsin or our friends have a lake house in Michigan or go see my mother in Peoria, which we're going to do in a few weeks. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I still think we should make – Catherine's got one camp scheduled in July for 4 days. So I think
maybe
what
you
want her to
idea.
Do more? Is
yeah.
that what you're
Put
saying?
Her in a camp
just
that
a little bit
has
more.
Multiple activities to see what she maybe likes.
Where do you find those, though? Like what?
I don't know. You're going to have to do some research on that. I don't have a kid I'm sending to camp. But
she's
going to
do golf, but she doesn't.
Well, he's doing golf, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and your local recreation department in town, they have a ton of stuff. And even the library offers a lot of cool things.
I'm telling you right now, I wish someone would have taught me golf at a young age.
Sure.
Because golf, you can play for the rest of your life.
I agree.
You're still young, Pete.
I know he's young.
You're still young.
Well, I'm trying. I'm taking lessons.
Are you going to do swim lessons this summer again?
I did swim lessons last summer because I couldn't swim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Now I can swim. You guys want to go swimming today?
No.
Maybe this weekend when it's 90.
I think that's one thing you got to make your kids do is learn how to swim.
Yes.
I think that's the important camp they got to go to.
Well, Mary, you came from a large family. Your mother throws you in there for a year or two.
It.
You don't really pay attention.
I hated going to learn how to swim because I had the meanest teacher, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing cold.
Yep.
And I still do not like swimming to this day.
Do you remember her name, Mary?
They called her Curly.
Curly.
Because she had this curly perm, this really tight perm, and she was this... just like kind of heavy set short woman, and she was mean and she'd get in the pool.
I taught swimming lessons and I was mean as well, but it's because the water is so cold and these kids that can't swim, I was frustrated with them, so I wasn't that nice of a teacher.
You were mean.
So
did you go to gymnastics camp?
You were mean.
You did go to gymnastics camp?
I did.
Wow.
I was mean.
You're a great swimmer. I forgot about that.
Well, I don't, I mean.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I was so stunned by the conversation that I just took it in. And the only thing I could think to say, because I was playing in my mind, because I was remember every word he said, I was playing in my mind, what should my response be? And that's why I very carefully chose the words. And look, I've seen the tweet about tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes. I remember saying, I agree he's a good guy, as a way of saying I'm not agreeing with what you just asked me to do. again, maybe other people would be stronger in that circumstance, but that's how I conducted myself. I hope I'll never have another opportunity. Maybe if I did it again, I would do it better.
7:24, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monsouris in for Andrea Darlis. Andrea's going to check in at 8:40 this morning. This radio station won some awards.
Big stuff going on in
yesterday.
Springfield. I love it.
She was in Springfield. We have some passes to give away. Two adult and two child general admission passes to the Sycamore Speedway. Sycamore Speedway, the Midwest's finest clay track. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com, 312-981-7200. You guys know where Sycamore is, next to DeKalb, where I got arrested.
You got arrested in Sycamore?
Back in 1987.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday. Anybody paying attention?
Yes. Yes, it's giving you problems getting your global entry.
My global entry. Yes, they found an arrest on my record from 1987.
What I find most interesting is that the woman, the officer that was going to give you your known pass said, have you ever been arrested? And you said, which time?
We all have been picked up by the police in high school, right?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Nope.
Everybody shook their head no. Every single person.
I probably should have been, but no.
Boys do dumb things. We all do dumb things.
No, boys get caught.
Right.
I didn't do dumb things, and I didn't get caught. So that shoots that theory down.
Sycamore Speedway, 312-981-7200. Pat, are you going to come back in? Have a seat. I want to talk about John McCain real quick. Do you have a second? You can go to Sycamore Speedway. Okay. Senator McCain yesterday. I love the senator. I've talked to the senator on numerous occasions. I've heard him on Steve's show. I have the utmost respect for Senator McCain. But yesterday, wow, he was just flustered. Yep. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Feel the same way. I've been a supporter for 30-some years. He just had a bad day. Can't make any excuses.
He released a statement and said he was staying up late, and he stayed up late watching the Diamondbacks game.
Yeah, I suspect he was walking in there and had a bad prep job from a staffer, said this is where we're going with it. And you can't make any excuses. I don't think he is. It was bad.
Right.
But he's an American hero, so I'll give him a pass.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, too. I was like, wow, he's talking about Hillary Clinton's emails. I'm not really sure what he's talking about, but he's an American hero, so I'm not going to even talk about it.
I kind of get where he was going with it, because Director Comey had, I think, a bad experience with what he did with the email investigation. But given now what we know about Loretta Lynch, the attorney general at the time, I think his actions might be somewhat more justified.
Right.
That he did this press conference and didn't go through her.
We have some sound on Senator McCain.
That investigation was going on. This investigation is going on. You reached separate conclusions.
No, that one was done.
Investigation of any involvement of Secretary Clinton or any of her associates is completed.
Yes, as of July the 5th, the FBI completed its investigative work, and
I think that the American people have a whole lot of questions out there, particularly since you just emphasized the role that Russia played. And obviously, she was a candidate for president at the time, so she was clearly involved in this whole situation where fake news, as you just described it, big deal, took place. You're going to have to help me out here.
With respect to I'm a little confused, Senator. With respect to Secretary Clinton, we investigated criminal investigation in connection with her use of a personal email server.
I understand.
And that's the investigation I announced the conclusion of on July 5th.
Former candidate Clinton are both involved in the investigation, yet one of them, you said, there's going to be no charges, and the other one, the investigation continues. Well, I think there's a double standard there, to tell you the truth.
It was just a bad day.
Yeah, but he makes a good point. He does make a good point on the way that he handled the Comey investigation. But no, they were not great questions, and he's a sharp guy. We have him on all the time. And listen, he spent 5.5 years in a POW camp getting beat up, and he never
gets a pass.
You know what? People may forget, honoring the code, they were going to let him go early for propaganda because his dad was an admiral. And he stayed in prison near death to honor the code. So he's a patriot. Not a great day for him, but I'm not going to criticize John McCain.
No, of course not.
Donald Trump Jr. tweeting 40 times in 2.5 hours. A bit much?
Yeah, and I don't understand
the tweets. Can't we just stay silent? Just let it roll out.
Do you know how many problems he's caused himself with his tweets?
I don't get it.
Junior or the president?
All of them.
Thank you. That's what
and then, you know what? But also, two things. Sarah Huckabee yesterday said the president's not a liar. That's another, I did not have sex with that woman, or I am not a crook moment
in
potential impeachment hearings. Mm-hmm. And then President Trump sent out his defense attorney, who is not a litigator, he's a corporate guy, who gave an okay read statement, which had factual inaccuracies in it. And some of it was just wrong. And it's just this ineptitude. And I did see one of the press releases had typos in it. All the other stuff about Russia and the potential obstruction, just the lack of competence in the White House right
who's
now.
Who's in charge?
I don't know.
Like no one's in charge.
Ryan's previous chief of staff. He's a good friend of mine. He's a smart, smart guy.
What is he doing? I feel like he's done nothing.
I'm not sure if he has much control.
Don't
I know
you rally the troops
well.
And say, listen, Comey's going to testify. Everybody stay silent. The kids, go somewhere. Go play.
Well, you've seen now how the president operates.
Yeah.
And how difficult you think it is for him to try to control a guy who at 3 a.m.
just gonna
tweets out that President Obama wiretapped my office. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah.
It's not normal. So where do we go from here?
I wish he would get a more competent administration so we can actually start focusing on, like Congressman Quigley said, the things that we need to get done.
How long does Priebus last?
There's press accounts out this week saying he's trying to get out, but no one wants the job, which is unbelievable.
Really?
That was a political. I'm not, you know, again, it may be fake news, but that's a political article that said. But he's one of the finest people I know, one of the smartest people I know. I'm sure he's sitting there going, wow, this is really.
And is Sean Spicer out or is he in? Because he'll be out for 4 days and then we'll see him.
He just needs a break.
You know, I was at a West Wing tour a couple of weeks ago and I'm standing there. I know Sean from the old days and I ran into him like 9:30.
You've said that. You like Sean Spicer.
He's a nice guy. He's in a tough spot. The job he's done, you can criticize it, but he is a good guy.
From day one, it's been a train wreck.
He's a Navy guy. He's a good guy. But working in the Trump White House would be very difficult. And I can't criticize anybody that's hanging in there trying to do the right thing.
Right.
So I agree with you. You know, all of these guys that are working in this administration trying to do their jobs, you know, you can't, you know, you can criticize them, yes, but if you don't know them personally, I think that'd be tough because they're in a tough spot.
There were some reports yesterday about many people that want to bail but have stayed because they believe they have to do the right thing for the country.
That's great.
Pat Brady, thank you.
Always good to see you guys.
Good
Thanks.
To see you, man. Thank Thanks you. Again for getting dressed up and coming in the studio.
My alarm did not go off.
I'm not kidding. Pat rolled out of bed. Are those your pajamas that you're wearing? Your PJs?
That's a personal question.
You know I love
answer.
You.
That's harassment, Pete.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is in for Andrea Darlis. Everyone's back on Monday in studio with us. We would like to welcome back to the show the Cook County Commissioner. It is Bridget Gaynor. It's great to see you in person. We've talked on the phone before.
Yep, but it's much better in person.
It is much better in person. You got dressed up. I like this. This is nice.
It's a high-class operation.
Wow, we got a lot to talk about. Yep. You got some great programs going on.
Yep.
I mean, you're like a rock star around here.
Thanks.
You really are. Do you want to introduce these two people right here?
So Jason Williams, Esther Williams, Ultimate Realty. We met right when the land bank was kicking off.
Yes.
And, you know, we talked about this before, but the land bank's job is, you know, we started out, get rid of vacant housing, turn it into something productive, put it back on the tax rolls. But the other important...
The Cook County Land Bank.
The Cook County Land Bank, right. Exactly right. So the Cook County
CCLB,
Land Bank... CCLBA.
Explain it once again for people that don't understand.
Exactly.
It's a program that's going on right now.
So, you know, after the foreclosure crisis, a lot of homes in foreclosure, a lot of homes getting vacant.
People would just leave their houses.
They just put the keys in the mailbox.
08-09. See you
out.
Later.
Yep. I'm never going to be in the black on this house.
Yeah.
You know, I better just walk away. And so we looked around. You know, it started out people calling the office, going through foreclosure, and you had this whole group of people. You had two groups of people. One, I'm in a house over my head. I got to get out of it. The second group wanted to buy in their neighborhood and couldn't get access to the housing because they were stuck behind all of the banks and the court cases and all this other stuff. And we just came and broke through that with the land bank.
Okay.
And there's two really important things that the land bank can do. The first is to transform this vacant housing into something productive, either move a family back in there or maybe it's vacant, it's got to come down, one of those two things. But the second part, if you don't find people in the community, and Jason and Esther are a perfect example, if you don't find people in the community who can redevelop, then you're not investing back in the neighborhood and you're going to be right back where you were before. And so
You're essentially turning around neighborhoods.
We're turning around neighborhoods, but, you know, we're also, it's not like anyone needed to be saved. You know, what they needed was for us to get the obstacles, and that's the role of government, really, get the obstacles out of people's way, clear out the court cases, clear out the back liens and things like that that took months or years to get out of court. These guys are, they're super talented. They're in the neighborhood. They were very attractive for banks to work with, but it's like no one could see them because they were stuck behind the wall of all this mishigas of, you know, administrative stuff that was a waste.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not about saving anybody. It's about getting out of the way so they can actually, you know, do their thing.
How did you two meet? How did you meet this Jason and
friends.
Esther?
Right. Yeah, we had mutual friends. Craig Huffman friends. Is a developer. He's working on Englewood and in 63rd Street. And, you know, we're personal friends. And so we were talking about, hey, I said, I really want to get some of these small developers doing this work at the land bank. He said, I got a couple people. So we met, and these were two of them. And so it all came on from there.
The rest is history.
Right? So what have you guys done? How many houses have you bought? Neighborhoods?
Through the land bank, we've purchased roughly 4 to 6 homes.
And you buy these homes, you rehab them, and then you just sell them.
Right, and we sell them to the end user. We take a lot of pride in the work. Because
it's your neighborhood, so you have a vested interest.
Yeah, definitely. We developed in several neighborhoods on the south side, Avalon Park, Auburn Gresham, Washington Heights, all over Chatham. And that's the pride in seeing these neighborhoods begin to turn around and turn these blights into to jewels on the block. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, and Bridget, we're the I read in January there are 500 locations and houses that were going to be flipped in the spring. Is that happen through land bank?
We are in the so houses are in the pipeline. So you know, some were going through court to clear them out. Some were actually working with these with developers like them to say, okay, what's the price we can pay? How do we price it? Some are in active development. And some have already been sold. So that's a number that's in that pipeline, and they're moving through. And the thing that has been, I think, like the light bulb going off for people in Chicago is to say, you don't need to come in with a big, you know, city grant or something like that to actually pay people to develop. What you need to do is look at this great housing stock. Look at all the talent that's in the community and say, let's hook these two things up, because now, you know, there's another 130 developers like Jason and Esther. So the land bank's got over 140 small developers that work on housing across the city and the county.
They just needed a connection. And with a city this big, it falls through the cracks.
It does. Well, it's also, you know, if you look at a house that you're interested in and you think, okay, I got to go to court. It might take me 6 months. It might take me a year. I don't know what's going to come at the end of it. Maybe it's $5,000 in water bills or liens. People just say, forget it. It's too much uncertainty. I'm going to go do something else. And the very thing we want people to do, revitalize communities, build houses, you know, every single vacant house was once somebody's treasure.
Right.
And so you want to get people back in there. And but we make it so hard. And so our whole job is, look, let's make it easy, because that's what we want to see happen.
I'm going to bring in Rob Rose in a second.
Great.
We're going to check traffic. And Rob, of course, is in charge of this whole thing. You named him.
He's the greatest.
He is the greatest, isn't he? I've never even met him. I can't wait to talk to him. But we're going to check traffic with Mary. 7:48, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Jane Monzuris in for Andrea Darlis. In studio with us, the Cook County Commissioner, Bridget Gaynor, along with Jason Williams and Esther Williams. Thank you all for coming in. And we have Rob Rose on the phone. We're talking about the Cook County Land Bank Authority, which is basically you take hundreds of vacant homes, you rehab them, and you sell them back to people, basically. Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Rob.
Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Hey, Rob.
Rob, anything anything you want to say about the program? We have Jason and Esther in here who just talking to them on and off the air. They're just so excited about this program.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's all about groups like Jason and Esther. It's about equity and access, right? It's about making sure that neighborhood groups get a chance to be at the table and have a shot at rehabbing their neighborhood. And so I think that the role that we really play here is one of facilitator. We go into the court system. We do all the heavy lifting. We are able to hold this in inventory, and then we're able to give these groups access to make sure that they're able to take a part in rehabbing the neighborhoods and bringing them back.
So, Rob, in my community, if I'm driving through a community and I see like a row of abandoned houses, and I say, "What's going to happen with those?" If there was something I wanted to do to them, do I go to the CCLB or do I go to people like Esther and Jason to rehab these, or can I do it myself?
You can do both. You can do all of it.
Great right? answer.
It starts with our website, cookcountylandbank.org, right? If you have the skills to rehab a house, if you have that ability to do so, then you can purchase for rehab. But we also have a program called Home Buyer Direct that if you want to buy a home that you want to live in and you have a contractor that you work with, you can also buy the home directly from us and then work with your contractor to rehab the house.
Let me ask Jason and Esther this question. When you rehab a house and sell it, what's the look on people's faces when they, you know, live in the neighborhood?
They're excited, because usually they're getting a home that's a really luxury feel to a home, you know, in the neighborhood that you would think wouldn't have, you know, luxury amenities. But, you know, we do our best to, you know, put a good product to the market and try to make home buyers satisfied. That's our main goal at the end of the day.
And it's affordable.
Yes,
and it's affordable.
Yeah.
And the neighbors love it because we're developing over the course of 2 to 3 months. So they want to come and peek in and see what's going on. So they're vested, too, to see what we're doing as developers and how we're going to impact their block.
There was a house these guys did at 83rd and Elizabeth, had been vacant for years, but it was a beautiful brick home. Mm-hmm. They came in and did it. We went through it. They had it staged, actually decorated. It was incredible. There were 5 offers before they even barely put it on the market.
Really?
And you want to say, God, that was just sitting there, anchored down by all this court stuff and all this administrative stuff. All it needed was to be liberated and have these guys work on it. And, you know, that story is being told over and over. Now you have families on blocks. You're getting greater stability. And, you know, Rob has led the mission of the land bank to say, we're pushing for home ownership. Almost every time. And, you know, maybe if you try to sell it and you can't, that's fine. But we want people owning homes, being a part of the community.
Well, Rob, you're putting families back in neighborhoods. This is a great thing.
Correct. Absolutely. I mean, the lifeblood of Chicago is the neighborhood. And the lifeblood of the neighborhoods are homeowners coming in, taking pride in their homes. And what Esther said is also a big part of what we're seeing. It's not only the homes that we're affecting, but it's also the blocks and the neighbors that are being affected. They're seeing their homes value stabilize and rise. They're able to then do work on their homes, deferred maintenance that they've held off on for 5 or 6 years. They have the means to do so now.
Right.
That's so true.
With pumps to do so.
And what's interesting is that, you know, you see houses like what Bridget just described, and you always think, well, what's going on with that? That's such a beautiful house. Why is it just sitting there? What are we going to do with it? So it's really great to know that something is being done with that. But the question I have is it just houses or are warehouses included in this? Old buildings happening with this?
Yeah. You know what?
Absolutely.
Rob, why don't you talk about Bellwood and then I'll talk about the other federal stuff.
Sure. So we have had a total of 4 warehouses in Bellwood. There was one warehouse, 50,000 square foot warehouse at Bellwood, right at the border of Bellwood and Maywood, that was abandoned for 5 years. We were able to acquire it and get it into the hands of a local business that expanded their operations into the warehouse, created 50 new jobs, and are now occupying the space. We had a collection of 3 warehouses that are all contiguous next to each other with shared parking. And we recently just closed on 2 of the 3. The third one will be closing here in about a month or so. Between those 3 businesses, they'll be bringing in another 100 jobs into the area, 100 new jobs into the area.
How about that?
And redevelop a warehouse that has been vacant for 10 years.
Right. Fabulous.
Right. See, this stuff is sitting in front of us, and it just takes that creativity. You know, when you think about that one story, there's an opportunity, I think, to take that story and put it on steroids. So 2 years ago, when they were kind of figuring out all the hardest hit funds and the end of the foreclosure money and all that stuff, the Cook County Land Bank got together with the Detroit Land Bank and the Cleveland Land Bank, and also the guy who owns Quicken Loans, who owns a lot of Detroit. And we said, hey, there's a big problem that these industrial cities like ours have is you have old factories and old warehouses and places that can't be rehabbed. You can rehab a house and someone can live in it. A factory, we do industrial totally differently now than we did 50 years ago.
Yep.
But this stuff is sitting like an anchor around the necks of communities they can't develop. So we did a big push and they moved some money into other buckets. And the state of Illinois received $250 million. And that money is sitting there and we're being held up by a small federal technicality from being able to do some major industrial and commercial demolition. And to think about, when you look at the GE factory on the west side or the old steel mill factories on the south side, if you could clear out those buildings, I mean, look at what they were able to do in Pullman with the Method factory and Gotham Greens. And that those used to be old factories that were sitting there. They cleared them out. And, you know, if you get rid of the building, you get rid of the back taxes, you clear out the liens, all of a sudden someone looks at it and says, okay, now I can do something with this. And we got to unleash the creativity that we have in our economy, in our city.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're pushing really hard. Representative Kelly, Robin Kelly, has a bill to unleash it. But we're going to keep pushing because this is a huge opportunity. And in my mind, it's like a Rust Belt reboot. You know, this gives us an opportunity to reset.
What a great program.
Yep.
My first thought was, why did it take so long?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, a lot of it came, I'm an organizer by background. And so when the foreclosure crisis happened, like I said, people call in the office, you're trying to help them, you get them a lawyer, then you do the vacant building ordinance that says to the banks, hey, if somebody walked away, you got to at least close up the building and cut the grass so the rest of the neighbors aren't stuck.
Right.
But then you start to realize we're not doing anything to get people back buying homes, selling homes. Banks don't want to lend. Appraisers don't want to appraise. So we found this model that was started in Flint, Michigan. And my view was, if they can do it in Flint, Michigan,
we can do it here.
We can do it here.
God, that is so smart.
You know, and
but
now,
nobody thinks that way.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. It's just
it's a testament to you that you brought that program here.
Well, it's been a labor of love in every way. You know, Rob Rose is a fantastic leader. I always tell people it was like meeting my soulmate when we met each other at a Sox game. But so, you know, it's a huge collection of people. You got Jason and Esther and 100 others like them. You have all the people who are advocates. So this is a collective effort.
Can you take some of those? Now I'm really thinking of some ideas.
Can we
do it? Can you add in maybe sell some of the property or get some like grocery store chains or even, you know, other kinds of stores to retail chains to take over those warehouse spaces so that if you need a grocery store in the area, then there's one closer?
You know, I kind of look at it like this. I can't get into people's heads about what they want to invest in. What I can do is get rid of the obstacles.
Right.
Get rid of the obstacles, and then people are going to think of things you never even thought of.
Right.
And that's what we want to see.
If people want more information, where can they go?
Rob, you want to give them all the deets?
Absolutely. Our website is cookcountylandbank.org, or you can reach us at 312-603-8015.
Cookcountylandbank.org. Rob Rose. Rob, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And Bridget, great to see you.
Oh, great to be here.
Jason and Esther. Congratulations on a great program.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Good stuff. Yeah,
thank you for having
us. Thanks, guys. Great idea.
It's 7:58. It's 7:20 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:10, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Andrea Darlis is out today, so we bring another Greek in, Jane Monsouris, and we welcome in Dean Richards from Channel 9. Dean, we have a Greek riding shotgun today. Okay. All right. Dean?
Dean?
You with us?
All right.
Good to talk to Dean. This was nice. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's up.
Okay. All right.
We'll find him. He'll pop in.
Oh, that's nice. I can't believe how happy everybody is today because of the weather.
Everyone's always happy when it's sunny and warm.
I mean,
and it's Friday. Hello.
We're in the Allstate Showcase Studios. People are wearing shorts on Michigan Avenue.
How many joggers have you seen going by?
It's also payday here, too, by the way.
Oh, that's why everyone's happy.
Oh, yeah. It's payday. Mm-hmm. I get paid.
I do notice when it's really lovely outside, traffic is terrible.
Well, everybody's in a hurry.
Traffic's always lighter on Friday, though.
Always. I'm going to the...
everybody takes off.
I'm going to the Cub game tomorrow with 9 other McMurrays, including the sister. That's a sister. And she's wearing the habit tomorrow. How hot is she going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be well up in the 90s tomorrow, isn't it? Isn't that what they're saying?
It's going to be...
The 90s start tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then it's like 5 straight days?
Is the habit dry fit?
Well, she's probably used to wearing it, and she's
developed.
Yeah, she's developed some sort of cooling mechanism, so it does. She won't get too hot. But are you sitting in the shade? Are we going to put her in the bleachers?
We are in the shade, yes.
Okay.
I made sure of that.
Yeah. Sunny, hot, and humid, 88 tomorrow.
Oh, in the habit. I hope it's not polyester.
Maybe they have a short sleeve one.
Let's welcome in from WGN TV, Channel 9. It's Dean Richards on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
I've been talking for like 12 minutes. I did some of my best material of the whole week just now for myself.
I blame Tomasulo. Something happened to the microphone.
It's Tomasulo's fault. It's always Pat Tomasulo's fault.
What happened to the Queen of Soul? Is everything okay?
We don't know exactly. We only know that she has canceled her... wait a second. No, I'm getting feedback.
Okay. I think we have you on the microphone now. Are you there?
Hey, hang on a second.
Okay, there you are.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Woo! Can you hear us? Dean?
Great.
Let's go back to the phone.
No, I hung up.
Oh, you hung up.
I hung up on myself.
You can hear me now, right?
I could hear you before. You couldn't hear me.
Okay, there you go. We can hear you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is professional broadcasting at its finest.
We have McMurray filling in for Cochran. He's going to lose all the ratings here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Illinois State Broadcasters Association Radio Station of the Year.
Yes. Wait, don't give it away. We're going to talk to Darlis at 8:40.
Hello, Watson. Can you hear me? Come to the next room.
What happened to the Queen of Soul?
We don't. As I've said about 6 times, apparently only to myself, Aretha Franklin, we don't know what's wrong with her exactly, only that there have been doctor's orders that she's not supposed to travel for a little while. And she was scheduled to do a show at Ravinia on June the 17th, which has now been postponed to September the 3rd. So good that it's been, you know, postponed and not canceled, but... You know, we're always concerned about the health of Aretha Franklin.
She's getting up there.
It's been, and she's had some health issues the past few years. But it sounds like it's okay. If you're holding a ticket for that June 17th show, you should contact Ravinia at ravinia.org or 847-266-5100. And they can either transfer it out to the new day or give you a refund or, you know, whatever needs to do.
Now, will they put in another show? She's rescheduled. Will Ravinia try to put in another show that night?
I haven't heard if there's going to be another one. I have offered to come out and do
Dean
my
Dean can sing. I don't know if you
medley.
Know that.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. Oh, hey.
Little soft shoe.
Che-che-che, R-E-S-P-C-T. Get him off the stage.
Have you seen Aretha in concert?
I have.
She's great.
I have several times.
And towards the end of the show, she brings up, and I'm not kidding, probably 50 people on stage.
She does?
Yeah.
She does indeed. One of my favorite, you know, people always ask me for the behind the scenes of these A-list interviews that I do all the time.
Uh-huh.
And a few years ago, Aretha was at, is that the Horseshoe Casino that's in Hammond?
Sure.
Yeah.
Went to Hammond. Aretha was going to do a show. I went backstage, and she's sitting in her dressing room having a little pre-show nosh.
Mm.
And
what did she nosh on pre-show?
I want to say it was chicken. I want to say that she...
I'm okay with that.
I think she was having some chicken before the show. Lovely. You got to get some protein.
And I've read that Aretha can be moody.
I have not experienced that.
Okay, good.
But my cameraman, who was putting microphones on both of us, that's what they do. You know, we have these tiny little lapel mics.
Oh, yeah.
That we wear.
I know where you're going with this.
And he was trying to pin it on Aretha's
right.
Toppage area. Uh-huh.
Decolletage.
And he's trying to be respectful, not to get too personal or anything.
The right. Twins,
and,
sure.
And she, Aretha goes, oh, honey, just clip that on there. You're not going to see anything that anyone hasn't seen.
Good
before.
For Aretha.
So she does that.
But, let it go, baby.
Way to break it down.
The microphone clip is a little clip that, that holds it on your lapel or dress or whatever. The clip falls into cleavage. Oh. It falls into the cleavage.
And that's a deep crevice. And that is deep.
And did she say, oh, honey, just go in there and get it?
Yeah, no, they still haven't found it. We sent some archaeologists in. We sent 31 Chilean miners in there at one point to try to, and it just, it was never recovered.
You can't miss those when you see her in concert.
Never recovered. So anyway, best of health, all the best wishes. We love Aretha. She still sounds fantastic.
She does. She's got an amazing voice.
Was at the Kennedy Center last year, I think, when they were honoring Carole King. And Aretha comes on stage to sing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, the Carole King song, and blows the roof off the joint.
She's so good.
Number one, sounding amazing. But this is my favorite part. She comes out on stage in her fur coat.
Yes.
Holding her purse.
I remember this.
Holding her purse because she didn't want to leave her fur and her money backstage.
As if she was walking by the street. She's like, oh, I'll come in and sing.
You grow up poor. You carry your purse on stage. She gets paid in cash in a suitcase. And she's so protective of the suitcase and her purse that she brings it on stage.
Yeah, a lot of those.
That is an honest to God true story.
Old school performers.
Yes.
They want cash. Mm-hmm. And they store the money in they want the money right next to them.
That purse, she probably had 10 grand in it.
No kidding.
Just walking on stage with that fur coat.
I think she stashed the money where that microphone went.
She can buy a new microphone?
Dean, hold on a second. We're going to check traffic and we'll get back to you in a second, okay?
Yep. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
.823, talking to Dean Richards from WGN-TV.
So Jane,
yes,
has the fill-in Greek on the show today.
Yes, thank you.
Greek filling in for Andrea on the show today. I have to ask you something.
Sure.
I'm sure you heard the sad news of the death of Metropolitan Iakovos, he's basically the head Pete of the Greek Orthodox Church. In Chicago, he would be like Cardinal Supich.
He's like the cardinal.
Really?
He's like the Greek cardinal in Chicago. Right. That's how I explain it to people. Like, yeah. Well, who is he? I'm like, if we had a cardinal, he'd be our cardinal.
Yeah, but he's called a metropolitan.
Right.
That's the title given him. I have heard in the reporting of this story, his last name mangled like 100 times.
Oh, boy.
How have you always pronounced it?
Oh, boy. Let me hear the way you...
I've always said and always heard Iakovos.
Yeah, Iakovos.
Yeah.
Iakovos.
By the way, my great-grandmother was Greek Orthodox. Hmm. On my father's side,
try to get in our club,
right?
Pete.
The pronunciation.
No, hold on a second.
He's trying to get
with
in
me
our
for
Greek,
a second.
Our Greek street gang.
I grew up
Jesus.
Going to two Easter masses, and your mass is like 5 hours. It took the whole morning.
Yeah, try to go to the Greek mass, just a regular Sunday mass, Greek liturgy, after you've been out on a Saturday night, and then you're standing up for an hour. Have you done that, Dean?
Not in a long time. I do a radio show on Sunday morning.
Yes,
I
listen. He does. Thanks for tuning in.
Iakovos is what I hear I say.
My childhood priest from St. Constantine and Helen in the South Suburbs.
Father Byron.
Oh,
I love him.
He's passed away recently. But he was my childhood priest, and when I would see him at other events, he would come up to me and go, "How come I never see you in church on Sunday?" It's like, Father, I'm doing a show on Sunday like you are. I'm busy on Sunday. I got to do a radio show.
But do you tell him you're thinking about church on Sunday when
you're
doing
your
show?
Yeah, no, I don't even try to lie. I don't know. I wasn't even trying to lie. And then he would grab my ear and twist it like he always did when we were little kids.
What a great man he
Slap
was. He came to the hospital when I was born to bless me.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
It's nice.
I know. Iakovos.
Are we done with
say.
Greek talk?
That's what I always say.
This was Greek talk on 720
WGN. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about it and I didn't bring it up and you did. So there.
Yeah, I don't like, hearing mispronunciations, of any kind. Street names, take 5 seconds and check a pronunciation on something. They just completely mangled it.
Sometimes the Greek name. The funny thing is I could pretty much pronounce any Greek last name, but when it comes to a German last name, I have trouble doing it. I don't know.
Dean,
I need some vowels. I need some vowels to pronounce a word.
Give me some O's and U's.
The Mummy opens today, starring Tom Cruise.
He's trying to get the train back on the track.
Have you seen the movie?
Jane, what's your favorite flaming cheese recipe?
Well, you know what? I have a great recipe for the Saganike, and you know where that was invented.
At the Parthenon Restaurant.
Thank you, Dean.
And it means
we'll talk to you on Monday.
The late, great Parthenon Restaurant on Halsted Street.
Oh, I love the Parthenon.
How do you pronounce that again?
Parthenon?
You know, the Parthenon comes from the Greek word.
You get your steaky and your cakey at the Parthenon.
The homemade wine.
Yes. Cakey. It's cakey, Muddy.
We're almost out of time.
I have all my big fat Greek wedding lines.
I want to ask you about The Mummy, because this week I saw no reviews, which is always a bad sign.
You haven't seen any reviews?
I haven't seen any reviews.
Oh, well, I can tell you.
It's a bad movie.
I've been reviewing it all morning, and most of the other reviews that I've seen this morning, all two other of them, also have been pretty bad. It's not a great movie, unfortunately. It's kind of a mess. Some people have said it's Tom Cruise's worst movie. I don't know if that's the case, but it's so glaring in particular because Wonder Woman that came out last week is so great, mm-hmm. and everything in Wonder Woman works so well. And it's just about the complete opposite with this one. Tom Cruise does not play the actual mummy in the movie. One thing that's different from this from one of the other 14 versions of the mummy that have come out since Boris Karloff originated the role in 1932 is that the actual mummy, the monster itself, is a woman this time.
Yeah, hot.
It's the Algerian actress Sofia Boutella.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I've seen the trailers.
There's your review.
Yeah.
Mm. She is a rather attractive woman. She plays an evil Egyptian princess who was buried alive because she was evil. And now Tom Cruise comes along. He's kind of a sleazy artifacts thief who's messing around with her sarcophagus. as you know, can be a danger. You mess around
right.
with someone else's sarcophagus, mm-hmm. and that can be trouble.
You got to be careful.
He unleashes the evil that has been hibernating for several thousand years. And you know what happens when something like that takes place? Havoc.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Somebody gets in trouble,
complete
and she comes
havoc.
Back. She's angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you don't have much of a storyline, what do? You throw in special effects to choke a cow. That's what you do.
Shoot.
And stunts. Is he doing stunts in this movie,
he
too?
Does
of course.
A lot
that's
of
his thing.
His patented Tom Cruise running in a straight line like he does in every single movie.
Every movie he has to sprint.
Right.
We know that you're a good sprinter.
Right.
You have great form. You practiced with Olympic athlete.
Yeah,
we get it.
He's a good athlete.
I like Tom Cruise. I just want to see a good movie.
He does a lot of his own stunts. That's what Tom Cruise contributes to this movie.
And this is a remake of Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, right?
Well, basically.
Okay, good.
All 13 of the other versions of this pretty much are
did we need
of
another
each
one?
Other. They just kind of missed the mark. And mostly it's the story that is implausible, often laughable. The special effects are cheesy and warmed over. When I left this movie, I thought to myself, this movie is The Walking Dead meets Michael Jackson's Thriller music video.
Oh, no.
Because it's a thriller.
There's a scene for Aretha.
Does right. Tom Cruise know this about this movie?
Apparently, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess not.
Hey, he's getting paid. He's happy.
I think that's the case. I'm sure he would have liked to have turned out a better movie. I was very disappointed with this. I gave it a Dean's List C-.
Ooh.
If
C-.
Do want something... that's good. I love dog movies generally, mm-hmm. And there's a new one out this week called Megan Levy. It's about a woman who joins the Marine Corps, is assigned to their canine bomb-sniffing dog unit.
Okay.
She is assigned a particularly aggressive German Shepherd who she really bonds with and really connects with. They are sent on like over 100 missions in Iraq, sniffing bombs out, saving the lives of our servicemen and women there until... a bomb affects them, and they wind up very critically injured, and even worse to them, separated. She is not with her pal Rex, and is heartbroken. You know, the love and the loyalty between these two if you're a dog lover, as I am, just is incredibly touching. That's one reason to love this movie. Another reason, if you didn't appreciate these people who go into these dangerous places,
right,
trying to find where the bombs have been hidden, you'll have a new appreciation.
Nobody hears about that.
Yeah,
of
so
course.
I think that's another major plus of this movie. Kate Mara stars in it. Chicago's Own Common co-stars. Tom Felton from the Harry Potter movies, and I gave this one Dean's List B.
It's
a real good movie.
I love Common.
Yeah,
I want to hang out with him. He just seems like a cool dude, you know?
Totally cool guy. And I've never dropped any microphones into his cleavage.
I was just going to ask, who has better cleavage, Common or Aretha?
They're both impressive, okay. But we still have not recovered the entire crew that we sent down to get that one microphone out of Aretha's that one time.
We will be listening Sunday morning, Dean Richards. Good to talk to you, buddy.
See you. Have a good weekend.
All right, too. It's 8:31. We'll check the big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
720 WGN 842. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Manzouras in for Andrea Darlis, and Andrea Darlis is on the phone with us because she went to Springfield to get some awards. What's going on? How are you, sister?
Hey, Andrea.
Hey. Hi, Pete and Jane. Dave, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Great, man.
Andrea,
I can't believe this.
They let me keep your seat warm today.
you bet, Jane. Pete said we had to have a Greek in.
Of course.
A Greek chair. That's what it is.
We called each other
the Greek
ahead of time.
Chair.
Andrea, they just brought in.
Anna, we plan.
They just brought in all the awards that were won. I can't believe it.
How about that? Oh, it was such a wonderful night for WGN Radio and WGN TV as well. It was such a great night for Larry Wirt, too. He was Broadcaster of the Year. And really, what a, you know, not saying this, of course, because he is our boss, but what a huge honor. And it was in the Lincoln Museum. It was the rotunda of the Lincoln Museum right in the middle where the awards were. It was so beautiful and just so poetic, and huge congratulations to everybody at WGN Radio, Station of the Year, which is phenomenal.
Fantastic.
The Broadcaster of the Year, Larry Wirt. Let's talk about Larry for a second. What was the swimsuit competition like? How did that go? Because he's a big swimmer, you know.
Well, Larry got 10s from all of the judges. He was, you know, the way they set it up was, Larry was one of the first speakers, so they got all of the big awards, you know, the honorary awards, Broadcaster of the Year, out of the way first. So Larry was there with his wife and his children. His mom was there. She was a hoot. And Larry spoke and just, and again, what was really cool, you guys, and I know we all appreciate this because of the business we're in, but they did a video montage, and they started out, of course, you know, with the early Loop photos and Larry as a kid, and just to see everything that he's accomplished and, you know, what he did for the Loop, what he did for Channel 5. And there were testimonials,
right,
you know, from Mark Sapelsa and Allison Rosati from 5 and what Larry did there. And then to come into the Tribune, our company, when it was so broken, and to completely turn it around into the company that it's become, it was just really kind of heartwarming to see that in the video Tribute, which was super cool.
Everybody loves Larry.
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
Everybody loves Larry. I'm so proud. Nothing to do with any of this, and I'm so proud of looking at all of these awards sitting here on the desk. In fact, Andrea Darlis in my hand, best radio news reporter, Chicago Market Radio. Andrea Darlis, I'm holding.
You won.
I'm holding your award. At your seat before you're even here.
I know. We took some pictures with them yesterday, and then brought them back to the station. It was a huge honor. I mean, you're up against your friends, your colleagues, you know, Bernie Tafoya from BBM and Lisa Fielding and everybody who you respect and you work with over the years. So it's just really heartening and very cool. You know, just makes you very proud to be in the business we're in and work with the people that we do, like you guys.
I don't mean to bring it back to me for a second, but Fieldine and excuse me.
Here we go, Jane.
Here we go. Back to
Fieldine and I went to college together. So
I just saw Fieldine.
She was nominated for an award?
Yeah. We were all up in the same category.
I got to get nominated. Now I want to get nominated. It's a competition. Always a competition with me and Fielding.
You want one of these, don't you?
Right.
Yes.
And props to, Troy, John and Troy, and Nick DiGilio, and Dave Schwann, and Jackie Paulus. We put together, and Shanae Paulus, we put together the station, this beautiful piece, I guess you could say, your package, just a story about the training with the Marines that won top honors to. It's just very heartening to be in such great company and, you know, to see. It was cool because you have the big wigs from Channel 5 and Channel 7 all coming up to myself and Jeff Hill and Paul and Jen from Channel 9 and just saying, yeah, oh, this is great. Yay, you know, way to go, WGN. It was very cool.
Well, congrats, AD. And I'm glad you mentioned John and Troy, who won Best Sports Play-by-Play.
Mm-hmm.
And they do such a great job on the Blackhawks.
Dave Ennett, by the way, multiple nominations for Dave Ennett, Sportscaster of the Year, Best Play-by-Play. So they played your montage and everything, Dave, and it was, again, very cool.
Thank you.
In fact, and not making this up, you can ask him, Paul Rennie turned to me and said, everyone loves Dave Ennett. I said, Dave's the best.
that's very nice.
Everybody loves Dave Ennett.
You guys, too.
What a great event.
Yeah.
So
Jane, it was so cool. It was just nice. The dinner was great. And by the way, we had a broadcasting WGN legend at our table as well, Lyle Dean, who won the broadcasting honor that Larry won this year. Lyle won it 2 years ago.
Okay.
Hey, Lyle. It seems like everybody was there.
You're making it sound like we should go next year.
To be in the museum. How
you
cool
guys
was that?
You need to go, yes. Oh, Jane, it was so neat. It was in, you know, the middle portion, and they had some of the exhibits at the museum, you know, still kind of on and working for us when we got there. And if you have a chance to see the Lincoln Museum or some of the, you know, the cool things in Springfield, the legislature, well, not the legislature right now, but the building itself is very neat.
Right. Yes.
Now, did you drive back up last night? I know Jeff Hill just walked in to drop off all the awards so we could see him and have him here. Did you drive up late?
I did. Yeah. I got back about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was, longer drive, but that's okay. You know, it was worth it bringing the hardware back.
Well, you were probably just on cloud nine and had all this energy because you were so excited from the night.
On a little bit of a high. I actually got to listen to Patty and, you know, the shows that I our shows that I normally would be sleeping through.
I mean, this is very impressive.
So it was fun.
And congratulations to you, AD. This is great. It really is.
Thank you, guys. Seriously,
think
thank
it was,
you so much.
And, AD, don't you think it was my guidance that helped you win?
It was.
Oh,
I've seen it.
Without a doubt, Dave, if I was able to give a speech, because the only people who were allowed to speak were the stations of the year, you know, the winners for stations of the year. If I were to give a speech, all of you, Dave Ennett first, and then all of you guys, Pete, Jane, Mary, everybody, Sandberg, Jake, you'd all be in there.
Who?
That would be a long speech.
Who made the speech?
I can do my speech for you now.
Who made the speech?
You better put Cochran in there.
For WGN, station of the year.
Station of the year was Jeff Hill, our sales manager, general manager Jeff Hill. Yeah, so he gave a really nice speech and accepted the award, and I went up and I was the Vanna. I held the award.
Nice.
Did anybody record this? I'd like to see it.
We're putting the pictures online right now.
Okay.
Of the
it's
of
an
the
HBO special tomorrow.
Darlis, have a great weekend.
Narrated by Dave Ennett.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Okay.
All right, you guys, take care.
All right. Thanks, Andrea.
Andrea Darlis back here Monday. Wow.
That's so impressive. I mean, just look at all this hardware that's sitting here next to me. It's fantastic.
Six awards.
Yeah.
That's
great. We take them in every year, though. Yeah. This isn't just this year, right, Dave?
So is six a low amount?
Dave's won a lot of these.
But the Station of the Year
has
been a
huge.
Pretty regular thing.
Has it really?
WGN.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Listen, mm-hmm. I'm a listener. It's a great station.
Go look in our trophy case thing.
Where's the trophy case?
Well, there's one up here in the hallway. Isn't it still in here? Up here, guys?
Outside the green, outside the
outside
lobby.
Outside the green room,
on
yeah,
the seventh
by the lobby.
Floor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in that little locked off
room.
Area?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But are you allowed in there, Pete?
I don't know if my pass works in there. I got to be honest. I don't know. But how many awards have you won, Dave?
I don't know offhand.
Six?
Dave's won a lot.
10. You've been in the business forever. You at least have 20. You can be humble. It's all right.
I got a few at home.
I'm just upset.
So were you disappointed if you were nominated and you didn't get one, or you're like, meh, I had my fair share. I'm good.
I'm glad John and Troy won because I was in that same category.
Okay.
And I'm sure whoever won the other one is a friend of mine from another station.
Because you know everybody. And everybody loves Dave Bennett.
But I'm happy for them.
Let's take a look at traffic at 8:51, Mayor. 8:55, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Jane Monzuris in for Andrea Darlis. Steve is picking up his brother Mickey and bringing him back to Chicago. He doesn't like to fly.
Road trip.
We mentioned earlier, I brought this up, that they're kind of magical moments when you have adult road trips with your siblings. And my brother Ed sent me a text. I forgot that we drove to Peoria. Not too long ago, and I did make him stop. I have to stop every 2 hours. I just don't like it.
I mean, Peoria is not
stretch.
Far. How many stops do you make on the way to Peoria? Two?
Just one.
Okay, one's fine.
Just one stop.
Do you stop for a chocolate shake just outside of Bloomington?
No, I don't go through Bloomington. I go through El Paso. I take 55 to 24, 24 to P-Town.
Okay.
Yes.
I like to stop outside of Bloomington and get a chocolate shake.
Where do you go?
Whatever. I see. Culver's, maybe. Steak and Shake.
But
I don't allow stops in my car.
I can see I could never drive with you.
We should travel together.
Gee, we're not surprised, Mayor.
One stop? What if we have to go to the
we're
bathroom?
We're not stopping. Don't drink and don't eat, and we don't have to worry about bathroom breaks. That's my theory.
Why my wife likes to drive. She hates to stop. I'm like, I'm driving. Sorry.
I took a friend of mine. We went to a funeral of when I worked for Steve Dahl. His wife's father passed away.
And Steve who?
Steve Dahl.
Doesn't ring a bell.
So. And we went, the funeral was in like Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It's like 5 hours. And I told Stephanie, we aren't stopping. And she didn't believe me. We didn't stop.
For 5 hours?
That's a 5 hour trip.
It's so efficient.
I may
if
stop
you just
twice.
Stay on the road.
What if didn't I, even well, switch drivers?
5 hours? No.
Do we, the big.
And yeah. We didn't even spend the night. We
My
went to the funeral.
I
and then
move.
We turned around and came back. Yeah.
Wow.
I got to stretch the lower back. Dave, don't you have lower back problems?
No. My kids went to school in Missouri, and that's about, well, I used to tell my wife, that's only six and a half hour drive. It was,
it's actually
when
longer.
When you start stopping, it takes longer. So I always called it six, and I subtract the time when you stop. I mean, we had to make some stops, right?
Well,
so
sure.
You take that, that's not your travel time. So if you subtract the 5 minutes or so to get gas,
right?
You know, then it's a 6 hour drive.
I used to drive from Atlanta to Chicago.
I did radio
in Atlanta and came home a lot. And that's a 10 hour drive, but it would be 11 because I would make a stop. However, I would stop only in those 10 hours. I'd make it in one day. It's up once that 1 hour. I don't know if it was a full hour, but there was a couple bathroom breaks.
See, I could never travel with you two, Mary and Dave. Sorry.
I got to keep moving, Pete.
Got to
keep moving.
10-hour drive.
Coming up,
10-hour drive.
We're going to be live on CLTV. We'll be joined by Brett Baer from Fox News Channel. It's 8:58 at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I was going to fire Comey, knowing there was no good time to do it. And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election that they should have won.
I take the president at his word that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. There's no doubt that it's a fair judgment. It's my judgment that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. I was fired in some way to change, or the endeavor was to change the way the Russia investigation was being conducted.
It is 9:13, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Jane Monzuris in for Andrea Darlis. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. In my opinion, yesterday was just a bad day all around for everybody. Democrats, Republicans, the White House, the government, everything.
Justice system, the media.
I know the first hour was must-see TV, but it's like after it started to sink in, it's like, what are we doing? What is going on here? We need to get back to business.
And you really do need to follow it if you want to know every detail about it. And you need to go back and really know what was going on from the very beginning as well.
The Well Street Art Fair kicks off this weekend. Always for me and my brothers, it's always the unofficial start of the summer.
It's a kickoff. It's the first one.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you go early or do you go late?
I do both. Oh. This year I'm going to the Cub game and hopefully afterwards, and I may stop by Rib Fest and see my buddy Dave Bennett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you will.
You and I hanging out, having beers together? I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Well, maybe a beer.
You are very fit. You watch what you eat. Mm-hmm. Do you count your calories with beers?
No. No, okay. I mean, I don't take in enough calories to worry about it.
Okay. Because I am very strict during the week so I can drink beer on the weekends. Yeah, everything's a numbers game in life. It really is.
I get it.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When was the last time you got a ticket?
Oh, no. Well, Mary knows Vandeveld. She'll vouch for it because it was on the way to a remote with Spike.
Oh, was that the sandwich one? Which one was
no,
it?
No, we were in Cary. We were in Cary,
oh,
I think.
Oh, Cary, yeah.
Or Crystal Lake.
With
we were
Spike,
somewhere
how
out
many
there.
Years ago was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was way up
oh,
there.
Oh, it was Crystal. It was Woodstock.
Oh, the
we were going to Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, when we went to see the groundhog.
And I was nailed in Cary.
It was February, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like where the speed limit went from, you know, 50 down to 25 in about a one block area.
And there's always just, a cop waiting.
He was sitting there, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and that was the last time I had one.
We have never seen Dave
he
so frazzled.
Oh my gosh!
And our producer Jim Weiser, when I didn't show up for the show right away because I had to go through the process.
And he's always on time.
He called my house.
Oh,
my
no.
wife was
no.
sleeping and said, "Where's Dave?"
Oh, this was before cell phones.
Right.
Well, there were cell phones, but I don't think I was pulling out my cell phone at that moment.
The reason I ask is because there's a
Speaking
member
of
the show
phones.
Today that got a ticket for texting and driving.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Recently?
It's not me.
Yeah, it was last week and it was me. I got pulled over. Okay, listen, I did it. I was texting and I was driving. I was at a stoplight and I was texting the place I was going and said, hey, I'm going to be there at this time. And I looked to my left and there's always a cop to my left. And sure enough, there he was. And he looks at me and he goes, pull over. So I pulled over. I was right by the UIC Pavilion, pulled over. I had nothing to say. I said, listen, someone got shot over there 2 weeks ago. Someone got arrested over there. But I was texting. I'm guilty. I broke the law.
Did you say you were sorry?
Of course I said I was sorry. And I did it. There's nothing else I could say. I said yes. And so he took my license and he went back to the car. And that's that whole thing. You know, it's 20 minutes. So all I wanted to do was grab my phone and start texting and say, I'm going to be late or I'm getting a ticket
for
texting.
This is the problem with us nowadays. And I'm not talking about all of us on the show. I'm talking about everyone. We have such a short attention span now. If there's a stoplight, what do? To fill time. We pick up our phones.
You're not supposed to text and drive. And
right.
I was doing it. So, yes, I was guilty. It gave me the ticket. And then, of course, like a good citizen, I said, so do I take this part of the ticket and do I send this in? And how much is it going to cost?
You can pay online now.
I paid it.
How much is a ticket?
Well, you can't. I think it's $75. I Googled it, and the page that I Googled was gone. So you're looking on the ticket, and there's different amounts and right. $60 in this, and it doesn't really clearly say your MCC for texting. There's nothing on there. So I guessed.
Jane, did he really, like, just kind of wave his finger at you?
Oh, yeah. He waved
his
finger.
He didn't turn the lights
on. Oh, he turned the lights on after he saw me, kind of like gave me the eye to eye and said, yeah, turn the corner. And then he put the lights on so he could cross through traffic. And he said, you know why I stopped you? I said, yeah, I know why you stopped me. And he said, I saw you texting. I was going southbound. You were going north. I go, you saw that?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Whoops.
But if you go to court and fight that ticket, officers have to show up. And they're most likely not going to show up for texting and driving.
Well, this guy would have.
So they're not writing tickets for texting.
Yeah, but the date of your court date, isn't that usually a date that officer is going to be in court and that's why you have that date?
I don't know.
They write it on there for that particular date?
I think that's why when that date is assigned to you, that's because that is that officer's date in court. I've only heard this, Pete, because I never commit those sorts of violations.
Sometimes, I think you're right there, Dave, but sometimes they still don't show up because when I got that ticket last year when I was on my way here.
Speeding? Because you didn't stop and go to the bathroom?
I didn't speed. There was a red light and some people were stopped at the red light and I pulled into the other lane of traffic and went around and went through the red light because it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I didn't want to wait for the light.
How'd you get busted? There was a cop?
Oh, yeah. And they're like, what are you doing? And
don't you look around before you run red lights in the morning? I always look for a camera and a cop.
Well, I don't know
how to look
for a camera
unless you're on lower
Wacker. You run red lights?
In the at 4
I think I ran 3 this morning.
I think sure. This was it's Illinois, okay at 4 yeah. Illinois and Rush or whatever. But anyway, I got a ticket and I went to court, and they weren't there. But I got an attorney. I went to court and then.
Did you pay the attorney or did you have a buddy show
attorney.
Up?
No, I paid the attorney.
How much was the ticket?
I don't know because it wasn't a price. It was one of those that was like a dangerous
MCC,
one.
Yeah.
So you don't know what the price
that's
is going to
like
be.
What mine was.
So I got the attorney and but we went and the police officer wasn't there. So I didn't cost me anything in court, but I paid the attorney.
Dismissed?
A few hundred dollars. Yeah, they just drop it.
But is that, so mine's not on my record. He said, listen, I'm giving you a break. It's not going to go on your record. It's just a city ticket. Next time you do it, you'll get a state ticket. It'll be on your record. I don't even want, I was wrong. I'm not going to fight
that's
it.
That's the thing. I knew I did it. Money. I'm not trying to get out of, I was like, I went right through that light. Knowingly, I wanted to get.
But you have, I want to say, maybe 60 seconds to plead your case and get the cop to change their mind. I always do that.
I'm not surprised.
You always go to court?
No, I always, when the cop walks up to the car, it's like, okay, what am I going to say? I'm going to try to make him laugh. We got to get it going. Hey, my line is, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize. I never do this. Can you cut me a break just this once?
Pete, do you show skin? Do you like open the top button?
I do. I show cleavage, a lot of hair.
Your extra sweater.
Around it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just cut me this break just this one time?
I've never asked a police officer to.
You've never done that?
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear, I'm sorry. Can you cut me a break?
One of my kids was pulled over for speeding somewhere in either Western Illinois, or it might have been in Iowa on the way to or from school. And in a small town. And the officer was waiting right there, and they were speeding. Ended up that you had a choice of paying a fine or paying a contribution to the local youth soccer program. And if you did that, it wouldn't go on your record.
What?
Yep. Is that legal?
I don't
no,
know.
That is not legal.
That was the deal.
Fine. Did you say fine?
Yeah, I paid the contribution.
Well, of course. You don't want it on your record.
I'd give them extra.
That is a scam.
It's like a scam.
He had a choice of like three
local charities.
Oh, we need
money for our local charities here. Let's pull over a few people, make them cough up some cash.
Yeah. I got out of a ticket once. I did it in court. I had physical proof. I took a picture of, you know, the incident and everything, and I got out of it. And the cop
what was the
there.
Incident?
Well, they said that I was turning I was passing at an intersection. You know how you're not allowed to pass at an intersection, but it was not an intersection. It was
really?
It was a driveway into it was a driveway into a construction site that wasn't even completed, and it was a fake driveway.
It doesn't count.
Okay. No, it didn't. I took a picture. I got out of it.
Did you have a lawyer, or did you go yourself?
No, I went by myself, and I was 9 months pregnant too.
So oh, well, there you go. That's why
you can't switch lanes in an intersection.
No.
Oh God. I do it all the
time. You also can't make a right turn around a bus. Right.
Well, I understand that because I see the sticker on the bus.
Right.
So you guys don't do the 60-second thing and try to get out of the ticket?
No. I always say,
you gotta
sorry.
Try.
I tried when I was pregnant. That didn't
I
work.
Usually don't. I don't get pulled over. And so I just was like, fine, I did it. Could I cry? Yeah, no, I was laughing at myself.
I can't even make myself cry on command for that because I've gotten a few speeding
tickets. I can make
tickets.
Myself cry. Sure.
Yeah. You like, can?
No.
I can't turn it on. I don't know.
What about parking tickets? Do you fight those? I fight everything.
No,
I just pay them.
Why?
Because
I feel like everything's a
it.
Scam.
Just fine.
I'm taking pictures. Now you can take, you can make up pictures and just put them in
I
there.
Never
it's
win.
Like, this is wrong. I don't know where
if
this
there's not a
came
sign posted that's close by where I know I might get the ticket. Like, oh, there's no parking here from 2 to 4. And I park there because one time I did that at the Merchandise Mart and my car was towed and I took pictures and I tried to go and fight it. I didn't win. And I ended up spending more money and more effort and time. So I'm figuring whatever the parking ticket is, pay it right away, be done with it.
No.
And move on.
You got to fight it.
Occasionally, my husband will get one of those, what is it, where we get the ticket at our house, and he was speeding, and it's a picture of him speeding on Western Avenue or something.
It's my wife all the time.
And
red light
he always
cameras,
like,
I hate
him. I don't, this can't be right. And so I look, I'm like, it's your car, your license plate, and you were over there getting your haircut, so I'm pretty sure it's you.
And you can go online and watch the video, too. As
right,
you go
and then I'm
the
like, there he goes, you know, turning too fast. You know, it's like, oh, there, that's you.
$100. I hate
those. The worst is if that you get that speeding ticket, and it's your husband's car or your friend's car, and you're driving. It.
Oh. Yeah, so far.
That happened to me too with my wife. Yes. It's 9:23. It's 7:20 WGN and live on CLTV.
Battle as the Southsiders look to make up ground in the Central White Sox Indians tonight at 6 on WGN TV Sports.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. On the phone with us, he's the host of Special Report with Brett Baer. It is Brett Baer from Fox News Channel. How are you, man?
Good morning. How are you?
What a day yesterday. What did you think of the testimony, first of all?
Oh, my goodness. It was a long day. I think both sides, depending on what side of the aisle you sit on, had moments where they point to it and say, aha. And I think in the main, overall, you come out of that saying we don't have a conclusion to this. I think Republicans are anxious to move on and to try to get the president's agenda going. And Democrats are saying there's more there, and they have many more questions to ask.
Well, if you're a Democrat, why not drag this out until the midterms?
Sure. No, I mean, listen, the approval ratings for the president are dropping down, and the more, you know, he gets, the more focus is on this, the more he tweets, the more there are kind of reactions and repercussions, and then that holds up the agenda. So, yeah, politically, that's one way to play it. I think that in the middle of America, there may be a feeling like they're just getting tired of it. But until you get a smoking gun, you don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
Hey, Brett. So the White House, the justice system, the media, who was the biggest loser yesterday?
Gosh, you know, I think, listen, President Trump does not come off great, obviously. But there are people who are his supporters who say, hey, listen, this guy is a New York City developer. And that's how he handled life. So he was always about, you know, hey, how about a little something for the effort? And, you know, let's make this deal happen and schmoozing people. Well, in Washington, you know, with the strict rules about, especially about investigations, neither Comey nor Trump look good. I mean, Comey could have said, Mr. President, that's inappropriate for you to ask me that. Mm-hmm. Let's bring the attorney general back in and move on. He didn't.
Right.
And so I think both sides don't look great.
Trump doesn't understand the way Washington does business. This isn't a business. This is government. There's certain rules. There's certain things that you have to do. You can't just say, hey, man, can you drop this? It doesn't work that way. He doesn't act presidential. And I've said it all morning long. In my opinion, it was a bad day for everybody.
I mean, I agree. I totally agree with you. And you know, it's not... the administration's trying to say, hey, listen, there's nothing here. He told him he wasn't under investigation. The problem is that the way they handled it, making everybody leave the Oval Office, one-on-one with Comey, you know, can you let go of this investigation on Michael Flynn?
Right.
That was a bad deal. The other problem, though, is that we haven't seen, for all the leaks, Pete, we have not seen a leak about credible evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And until you see that,
right,
people are going to go, okay, so what? Let's move on.
I know Comey painted a disturbing picture of Trump, but when Comey admitted that he leaked one of the memos to a friend so the friend could give it to the New York Times, were you shocked when you heard that?
Yeah, I think a lot of Washington was shocked. First of all, we know everybody leaks. The only institution that really doesn't leak is the Supreme Court. But everybody leaks. But to hear a former official say he did it, and then to say, I did it because I wanted to precipitate a special counsel, like to get to an end, was really quite something. And I think it took a lot of those senators by surprise.
It's just one big game in Washington. That's all it is.
It is. It's kind of dirty. You have to take a shower after the end of the day. And frankly, I know just going traveling the country, people are kind of sick of it. But there are laws, and you got to follow the laws. And if you color outside the lines, you know, there are repercussions.
When you start your show every night, it's always a Fox News alert. Does it have to be an alert every single night?
There's very, very important things happening at every moment. I mean, it's called Special Report. It's very special.
It really is. It's a Special Report with Brett Baer, and of course, you're the star because your name's on it. Yeah.
If it's not on it, then I've got problems.
And before you go, tweeting. I noticed that you respond to a lot of tweets, man. You're very active on Twitter.
I am. I figure one viewer at a time, even the ones that are really aggressive. I figure if I answer in a nice way and say thanks for watching, even though he called me some name that,
right,
that is pretty un-Twitter-like, it can be a dark place at times. But I think...
it's pretty good to interact with the audience, and usually I can get them back in the fold.
So now you kind of understand Trump's tweeting then, if he's interacting with the audience.
Well, it's a little different.
That's a whole different ballgame. You know, there was 24 hours there, and there were no tweets, and the White House was rejoicing. You know, the one of his best weeks was in Europe.
Yeah.
The iPhone did not work on Twitter.
How great was that?
Until he got to NATO.
How do you get that to stop?
I don't know. We got to. And you have all this going on in Washington. You couldn't go to your college reunion.
I know. DePaul University. I know. I felt bad about it. But I think they understand. They see me on TV. I got a little some stuff
You're
going
busy.
On.
It's a special alert, guys. I can't make it. Do you understand?
I wanted to.
Right. But it's a special alert. Brett Baer from Fox News Channel will tune in tonight. Thanks, buddy.
You guys need a ding and a zhuang, you know, like a some kind of Pete McMurray alert, some kind of WGN alert.
You know what? We're going to work on that.
We
I
do
like
need
that.
Okay. Special report.
I do. I like the pain.
I like it.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Brett.
See you, man. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
720 WGN, it is 942. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monsur is here for Andrea Darlis. I mean, it's going to be beautiful this weekend.
Great Friday, great weekend.
Uh-huh. We're looking at mid-80s, mid-90s by Saturday, Sunday. The Wells Street Art Fair is happening this weekend. I say it's the unofficial start of summer. Joining us in studio is the owner of the Fireplace Inn right in the heart of Old Town. It is Kai Novak. Thanks for coming in, man. Did you have to wake up early for this?
I did.
I sent Kai a text 2 days ago. I'm like, hey, man, do you want to come in? He's like, what do you mean? Come in where?
what
are you talking about? This is your busy week. I mean, this is your Super Bowl right here.
This, like you said, is the unofficial kickoff to the festival season.
This is like the true first festival this summer. Everyone goes to this.
It really is. Yep. It's a great fest. People are out. Happy, great artist out there. It's pretty good.
You know what? Yeah, you have people that used to live downtown. They move to the suburbs and they come back for this because they just love it. And if people have never been, the Wells Street Art Fair, it's just not a drinking festival. You actually have art.
Right, there is. there's some terrific art.
That's why I can get my wife to go.
200 plus, it's a great way to get the wife out for sure.
Well, yeah. One of the things about the Wall Street Art Festival is that if you go early enough, you can see the vendors, you can see the artists. Because if you wait and go a little bit later in the afternoon,
it gets a little crowded.
You can't even move.
Especially if it's sunny out. I mean, like we're talking about, it's the event that kicks off the summer in Chicago for a lot of people. It is a little bit of a drink fest, I guess.
How long have you been on Wells Street?
48 years.
48 years.
Yeah. Wow.
My father opened it in 69.
And the renovations were done a few years ago?
A year and a half. Yeah, well, December. A year and a half, yeah.
Okay.
So I love the fireplace, and I love it. I love it during football season. I love it when it's cold outside because you go in, you're warm, and it just feels good inside. But then I love it in the summer. Right?
All right. Summer's where it's at for us. We used to have the outside cafe. Now we have a big sidewalk cafe. And
vodka lemonades.
Vodka lemonades.
Yep.
Vodka lemonades.
Big ones.
Yeah.
There's days I don't remember because of your vodka lemonades.
Good.
In the hot sun. You got to be careful. You got to hydrate tomorrow.
We got to hydrate. Lemonade is good for hydrating.
Will you be open early? So for the folks that come early and they want to see the art and they really don't want to be, you know, have all these party people around them, will you be open? People can come in?
We open at 11, but the festival basically opens at 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And all the way up to about noon, 1 o'clock, you're still okay to look at art and without having any kind of...
I think it's okay until about 4 or 5. It gets a little crowded.
Yeah.
You know?
Sunday's an easier day.
Sunday is the best day.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that.
Sunday's an easier day. Getting out early, especially because, you know, a lot of people are hanging in bed.
Well, so to sit outside on your patio, that'll be open?
It will.
And
it will.
And easy to get into, or will people come and just sit?
It's easy to get into before 1 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, after I have Kai's number. You can just text him.
Right.
You and 1,000 other people. Hey, man, can you get me a table?
This is when you hide, right?
Yeah.
We do what we can.
Your specialty, ribs.
Ribs.
How many slabs?
How many slabs
this weekend you'll go through?
That's a hard number to put to. It depends on how things, but we go through quite a bit.
What's the special recipe?
What's the special recipe? Well, you know, we use a dry rub when we cook, and we finish it with barbecue under the grill. It caramelizes. It's a lot of good.
Who comes up with the dry rub? Was that your dad?
Yeah. That's a personal question.
Hey, wait a second.
Guys, it's only 9:45.
Right. Yes. What are we doing?
My father came up with the recipe back in '69, and
did you ever think he'd be taking over?
No. I really haven't done anything else, so to say no is kind of ironic, I guess. But no, that's just what I do.
With any family-run business, my grandfather had a grocery store, and we all kind of pitched in. So it was always a family business. I can imagine owning a restaurant. You were probably there all the time as
a
kid.
Grew up there?
Yeah, I grew up there for sure. Yeah. I'm 49, and the restaurant's 48. So
yeah,
my brother and sister are involved, and we're all still working in the restaurant.
Have you done every position? Like, you're the busboy, you're the dishwasher, you're the host, you're the bartender.
As children, we had no idea we were being trained to run a restaurant.
Your dad's a smart man.
It was slave labor. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some great restaurants on Wells Street.
There is. A lot of new ones, too.
Topo's been there forever.
Topo Gigio's.
I'd like to stop by Orso's and see Agnese.
Orso's is great.
The back garden area. It's just fun.
Some new ones down there. You got the.
Did something just get torn down that was like a.
Well, you got O'Brien's. That torn down? They're putting up a hotel there.
Is O'Brien's going to be in the downstairs of the hotel?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to reopen.
Yeah, they're reopening. I mean, they were. We thought they'd be building by now, but they.
Oh my God, you brought. It's Mary just brought these in. Are these ribs?
What?
Oh my gosh. Holy smokes.
Oh, ribs.
Wait a second.
The specialty, Dad's recipe.
Yeah. Look at that. Fireplace in ribs.
And the vodka lemonades are coming down.
Oh, I was thinking about the vodka lemonades the other day. I just out of the blue, I thought to myself, I should never drink those again.
Right.
Well, but because it's hot and they're delicious and you don't really realize what you're drinking.
You really don't.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Way to get
you don't want to remember
it.
Some of the entertainment, of course, 16 Candles. With the,
16
which,
Candles.
Fantastic.
Which is English.
American English. 16 Candles is a Chicago band.
Yeah, fantastic.
Every single summer. I mean, how would you describe them? They do 80s, 90s, and they change clothes. It's like costume changes.
It's a party.
Yeah, it's one huge party.
Band after
really
my own
is.
Heart.
God, I love it. I'm just so pumped for this.
Well, you better get there early.
So the festival hours, 10 through...
10 to... they call it dusk, so usually about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
And then that's what time they clean up the street and everyone has to go inside the bars.
Right. Okay.
How many times have you drank with the McMurray brothers at the bar at Wells Street?
Well, with the brothers collectively? That's a handful of times.
Brother
but
Dave,
you, since the,
me, yes.
The 90s there?
Uh-huh.
It's been a while.
The 90s. God. You would think I'd move out of town and, go away. I come to this thing every single year. I just love
right?
it. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's fun. And here's the deal, and I said this the other day for the Wells Street Art Fair. If you're like me and you come with a woman that likes art and she buys something, don't carry it around.
No.
They will hold it for you. Okay,
get it at the end. I can't tell you how much art we have in my office that has been left.
That happens all the time. We left a piece one year.
It's all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. You pay for it, and it's like, oh my God, I love this piece, and you carry it around. He's like, oh, where did I leave it?
The art festival holds it for you?
The vendor. The vendor will hold it, and you'll say, okay, I'll be back.
So
what time are you going
to
close?
That's really good to know, because that will deter anybody from wanting to carry that piece around, namely me.
Seriously. Right.
Well, there's some really beautiful things there, and certainly you don't want to drive all the way home or run it to your... You could put it in your car.
And guys are saying, I don't care about the art.
Right.
They have sports stuff there. Tons of sports memorabilia, which is really cool.
They
framed sports pictures, Blackhawks.
Jewelry,
they
have everything.
Well, I love anything handmade, right, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
See? looking for the other artists to chime in over here.
Yeah, I'm going. I've never been to it.
If people want more information, what's the website?
WellStreetArtFair.com.
And your restaurant? Fireplace
In? FireplaceIn.com.
Awesome.
Pretty easy.
Kai Novak, it's great to see you, man.
Appreciate you having us down.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Kai.
It's 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Ribs. I had ribs for lunch. That's why I'm doing this.
You smell those ribs? 720 WGN. We're live on CLTV.
The ribs smell awesome.
This is what I love about Kai Novak at Fireplace Inn.
We're smelling them. We're not eating them right now.
We were all meathead, single guys, and I was introduced through a mutual friend, Bob Lanigan, who you all know. He's a Southsider. I got to I was best friends with Bob. He introduced me to Kai, and we hung out a little bit, and now we're all grown up, and we all have kids, and everybody's married, and Kai's running the restaurant, and he's normal now.
And everything turned out just fine.
I mean, we're all responsible, but it's fun to see, you know, to kind of grow up together. Sure. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of having a moment there. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it's translating that on the air, but I was having a moment. I want to thank Goody's Popcorn for sending over bags of popcorn today. Dave, you want one? The Cornfetti? Here you go. There you go.
He's got a smoothie. Yeah,
thanks. Goody'sFamousPopcorn.com. I'll take the regular popcorn.
Let's go with my
Did
smoothie.
You say popcorn?
Popcorn.
Oh, popcorn. Yeah, my popcorn. Favorite thing in the world. Could you bring some up here?
Sure.
We have slab, two slabs other. Of ribs.
Yeah, we've got ribs, too.
What else do you need?
Where's the vodka lemonade?
Oh, it's in the green room.
Yeah, lemonade. Right there.
So since we're on the subject of ribs.
Yes.
Now, last week or 2 weeks ago, my daughter, Lindsay, was in here.
I heard that, and you actually ate ribs on the radio. I couldn't believe
it. A rib on the radio. She is with the North Center Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And this weekend in North Center, it is Rib Fest Chicago. And it starts tonight, 5 o'clock. It starts at Irving Park, Lincoln, and Damon. That intersection goes north along Lincoln Avenue through the North Center neighborhood. They have all kinds of vendors, ribs, beer tents, great, any kind of ribs you want.
You got They've a Starbucks got, right on that corner.
The Starbucks right there on the corner. There's a CVS if you need it.
Oh, yeah, the CVS.
Ribs,
sure.
Your wipes there. So it's just a bunch of rib restaurants that set up shop, and you just go down and eat the
ribs. And they have other foods, too. They have all kinds of great desserts, but it starts 5 o'clock. There's a $10 suggested donation at the gate,
right,
which goes to help some of the charities in that neighborhood. And again, that's Rib Fest Chicago. And you're going to join me there tomorrow.
I'm going to show up just to have a beer with Dave in it.
And a rib.
And a rib. This is what I love about this city. First of all, everybody's happy today because it's going to be a warm weekend. But these street festivals are so much fun. And if you live in the suburbs and you're thinking, I've never been to one of those, you should just stop by. Experience it, because that's what the city is all about.
And Wells Street is great. I used to live on Wells.
Really?
In Old Town. And I mean, that's just a great time. This weekend.
I mean, Ribfest, too. So I'm a Southsider, but I've always heard about Ribfest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went up to it one time. I mean, it's just so much fun. And you get these festivals every weekend in all these different communities and neighborhoods across the city. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It is just what it's all about. But I think, you know, if you're on the South Side, come up north and try and check out some of the North Side festivals.
Right.
By the way, they have the rib eating contest, Rib Mania 8, tonight at 6 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave. All right, Bill and Wendy are coming up next at 720 WGN.